Hello and welcome to another Directions Magazine podcast, today sponsored by Esri. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. In July, in conjunction with Esri's International User Conference, the Esri Education GIS Conference is held from July 6 to 9 at the Marriott Marquis, adjacent to the San Diego Convention Center. It's a unique event that inspires educators to maximize its investment in GIS through user presentations, free technical workshops, and student success stories. Today, I am pleased to present an interview with Mr. David DiBiase, the Director of Education, and Ms. Angie Lee, an Industry Marketing Manager for Esri Education. We'll be discussing the explosive growth in GIS education and what's in store for the conference this year. Please stay tuned. Well, David and Angie, thanks very much for being on the podcast today. Let me get right to the questions. So there's been tremendous growth in Esri's EdUC in recent years. What factors do you see as those that are contributing to the growth, and perhaps just elaborate on some of the reasons?
Sure, yeah. I think there are several reasons that the conference has grown over the last few years. We know that one of the main reasons people come to the event are to keep up with trends and learn about new technologies, but most importantly, to be part of the GIS education community. The event has always been a user conference, but over the past few years, we've tried to feature members of the user community more prominently in the plenary sessions. Another reason I think the conference has grown is that as more small and mid-sized colleges and universities get involved with GIS, they want to connect with peers from other institutions because they don't yet have an extensive network on their own campus of GIS users, and so they come to the event to be part of the community. Another thing I've noticed is that more people from a given institution are attending each year. So, for example, a university that sent one or two people 3 years ago might be sending four or five people to the conference this year. And, of course, the economy has improved, and that's made it easier for people to attend. They're getting more travel budgets.
So the EdUC is usually centered around certain themes. What key themes are you trying to address in 2013?
So we have three plenary sessions this year, Joe. Saturday morning, July 6th, Sunday the 7th, and Tuesday the 9th. Each of those is focused on a theme. The first, the Saturday plenary session, is called Celebrating Student Success. That session will start off with a speaker whom we're really excited to feature, a woman named Kim Castens from EDC, Learning and Teaching. And following that, we're going to be showing a series of videos that students prepared as part of nominations to be featured in this plenary session. And we're actually going to be inviting some of those students to appear on stage and to talk to us after their videos are shown, to talk to us about best practices in education from a learner's perspective. Then on Sunday, we're excited about a theme that we're calling Emerging Best Practices in ArcGIS Online for Education. You know, there's a lot of excitement and uncertainty among many educators about ArcGIS Online. We like to think it has transformative potential in education, but in fact the best practices for deploying that cloud technology are just now emerging. And so we're going to have some of the frontline educators, people like Sarah Battersby from the University of South Carolina, Ola Alquist from Ohio State, and Christopher Bone from the University of Oregon, and others who have really been quite bold in their early adoption of ArcGIS Online and their use in teaching and learning. And they're going to share the good, the bad, and the ugly about this new platform on stage. And then on the final plenary, Tuesday, the closing day of the Education GIS Conference, we have a session called Innovations in Geospatial Thinking and Learning. And this is supposed to be a forward-looking session that showcases research and applications at the frontiers not only of geospatial education but geographic information science. And we're looking forward there to featuring Kirk Goldsberry from Harvard University, Christoph Schlieder from the University of Bamberg, and a special guest to be announced.
So, Angie, I know you've got a number of educational exhibitors that will be there, as well as an academic camp. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we will have 30-some academic institutions at the Academic Program Fair on Monday night during the MAP Gallery reception, and they'll be there to talk about their certificate and degree program offerings. So those are fantastic opportunities for GIS professionals to continue their education.
And you're also doing something a little unusual this year. The EDUC is planning an unconference day, and for those of folks listening, this is a self-organized session following the Sunday plenary. So what are your objectives? Why are you doing it? And maybe tell everyone how this is going to work who may be unfamiliar with an unconference.
Well, as Angie mentioned a few moments ago, a trend of the Education GIS Conference in recent years has been a real attempt to make it as participatory and as user-oriented as we possibly can make it. And the whole idea of the unconference, or what is more generically called open space technology, the whole idea is to have a self-organizing, participant-driven agenda that reflects participants' interests. And that's what we hope to do. We also hope, because it's new and different, that people will be interested in it and will enjoy it a little better.
And you're also proposing a GIS Education Community Advisory Board. Maybe if you can give me some additional background on this board, who will be included in, and what are the goals you're setting for the board?
Sure. We actually started the advisory board at last year's event. So last year, the goal was to have the advisors examine and provide input to the ESRI education team on strategic priorities for educational resources. And so we wanted to get their advice on what they saw as the GIS education community and what ESRI's role should be in relationship to the community. So we wanted to know if the existing resources we provide met their needs and what we should do moving forward. For this year, the topic will be the development of a second-generation body of knowledge. And so I'll let David speak more to the focus for this year.
So, Joe, you're probably aware, and your listeners are probably aware, that since the original GIS&T body of knowledge was published in 2006, there was almost immediately calls for its revision and update. And that project is actually has actually gained some momentum in the last year or so, and UCGIS, under the leadership of John Wilson, has begun to schedule workshops to think through not just the content of a second edition of the body of knowledge, but very importantly, the process by which it would be created. And they're thinking of creating a cyber infrastructure, actually, for the body of knowledge that would allow individual practitioners to contribute in a manner similar to a wiki. So our thought is that our advisors would do well to hear about this project, to be able to take it back to their colleagues and constituencies, and also to advise us, to advise ESRI's education team, on what ESRI's role ought to be in this process.
Let me just pick up on that a second, David. You know, the body of knowledge is a very comprehensive a book and resource for GIS professionals, and yet the profession has certainly changed radically since its production. What do you think are the changes that would be made or should be made to that, given what we know from current technology advances, and not just technology advances, but also just advances in education in general?
Well, Joe, unlike the first edition, I'm very happy to say that I don't have a leading role in the second body of knowledge project. But as an interested observer, Yeah, right. I'd say that I expect the changes to be far-reaching. For one thing, the original body of knowledge was envisioned as the core element of a model curriculum for geographic information science and technology education. What the body of knowledge turned out to be was quite different than that. It turned out really to be a description of the field, an inventory of its intellectual content, if you will. And I think that that's kind of taken root. Its purpose is really to represent the identity of the field as a field that's distinct from others, other related fields. And I think now that there's clarity of purpose about that document, I think the process and the result will be quite dramatically different than what we saw the first time around.
Right, right. You know, ESRI also engages in both educational opportunities for its users, that would be certification, online training, and educating the community as a whole. In addition, educating GIS professionals is challenging, as you know. There are many growth projections for professionals. That growth projection is significant. There are certain modes of education that are coming online, MOOCs, asynchronous training, etc. How do you suggest that the average GIS professional keep their skills tuned given the opportunities and demands of an ever-changing technology?
I think conferences and events are one great way for people to keep their skills tuned. At the user conference, there will be technical workshops on hundreds of topics where people can learn about new tools. There are also all of the presentations by users where people can share best practices for what works, learn what has worked for peers in similar situations. And then, as you mentioned, ESRI offers a lot of online training opportunities. There are over 125 free web courses and online training seminars that are available. There are things like software workbooks and instructor-led courses from ESRI as well.
Joe, one thing that our advisory board expressed to us very clearly on the education team last year is that we need to devote efforts not just to creating educational resources ourselves here at ESRI, but also making it possible for people to discover the educational resources created by others. You know, we are, just as we're in an era of volunteer geographic information, we're also in an era of volunteer GIS education, and we want to make it clear that there are lots and lots of places people can go to get formal and informal education. YouTube, for one, has a wealth of resources about techniques with ArcGIS and other platforms, for example. But I guess in addition to that, I'd like to suggest something that was a truism back when I was working for Penn State University. You know, educators would always say the best way to learn something is to teach it. And to that end, I'd suggest that that many of your listeners, many GIS pros, ought to consider the possibility of teaching either formally as part of perhaps part-time employment or voluntarily through workshops at professional conferences, GIS Day. You know, as academic programs that are practice-oriented or professionally-oriented rather than academically-oriented grow, and that really is the growth area in GIS education, a lot of those programs have openings for what they call practitioner faculty, that is, people who would teach part-time while working full-time. The University of Minnesota, which had the first professional master's degree in GIS, in this country at least, was one of the leaders in taking practitioner faculty and putting them to work for the benefit of students. So I think for many practitioners, I think teaching themselves is going to be a great way to learn, particularly if you set yourself out to teach something that's a bit of a stretch. You'll be sure, if you know students are counting on you, you'll be sure to master it, if only just the night before.
Well, great. I think that's great advice because I think all practitioners ought to have that experience to perhaps teach for no other reason to, as you said, stretch themselves a little bit to get a better understanding and a deeper knowledge of what they believe and practice every day. So again, David, thanks, and Angie, thanks very much for your time, and we look forward to a really exciting EduC this year.
Thanks very much, Joe. It's our pleasure.
Thanks, Joe. Nice to talk to you, and hope to see you there.
Thanks again for joining me today on another Directions Magazine podcast. If you'd like to comment about my interview today, please write to me at editors@directionsmag.com or place a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining me today, and be sure to tell a friend.